الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Continue with the Mandoma, the lines of poetry by Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimullah. And continuing, he said, شَكَرُ الَّذِي أَوْلَى الْخَلَائِقِ فَضْلَهُ بِالْقَلْبِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ. We mentioned that. And here, this refers to the shukr, giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the happiest of people are the ones who give thanks to Allah. شَكَرُ الَّذِي أَوْلَى الْخَلَائِقِ, the one who created, and he's the first of them to create the khalaiq. And there is a nice few lines of poetry from Hafiz al-Hakami. Again, he speaks about Allah, the originator of creation. He speaks about Allah being the bari', which means the originator of creation. He said, "Awwalu." He said, "Let me just get it here." نعم. وَأَنَّهُ الرَّبُّ الْجَلِيلُ الْأَكْبَرُ, and he is the Lord, al-Jalil, the most honorable, al-Akbaru, the greatest, al-Khaliqu al-Bari'u al-Musawwiru, al-Khaliqu al-Bari'u. Three names of Allah subhanahu wa taala that come together in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah mentions in Surah Al-Hashr, أنه هو الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. And these three come together in this, and the hikmah behind that, and the ulama mentioned that the reason why these three come together, because it shows you that Allah is the only one who can create in this unique fashion, in the best of ways. He's the creator, the originator of creation, and the fashioner. So he made us fi ahsani taqweem, in the best of forms. And he gave us eyes, aynayn wa lisana wa shafatayn, eyes and a tongue, and he gave us lips. He created us in the best of forms. So all of this, so he's the best of the fashioners, and he's the fashioner, and he's the creator, and he's the bari. Bari al-baraya munshi'ul khalaiq, bari al-baraya, that Allah is the one who created the people that you see, and those that you haven't even seen, and those to come. He is Bari al-Baraya, Munshi al-Khalaiq, the one who brought about the creation to exist. Mubdi'uhum bila mithalin sabiq, and he is the one who created them without any example to be given previously, because nobody else created them before. And the heavens and the earth, the khalq of the heavens and the earth, is far greater than even the creation of people. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرْ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, is far greater than even the creation of the people. So if there are about 6 billion people alive today, and everyone is created differently, with different features and different, yani even the fingerprints of each and every one is different, of those 6 to 7 billion people. That is now. What about, alaykum salam, what about in 100 years from now, when all have passed away, then the next century comes, another 6 or so billion people. Yeah, and what about those who will come, and those who have already preceded us? How many billions of people have preceded, and not one fingerprint is the same to another? SubhanAllah. So Allah is نعم مبدعهم بلا مثال سابق. He brought them about without anyone bringing any example of his creation like Allah. So Allah is one in creating, and he is the one who deserves to be worshipped. If we affirm his rububiyyah, we have to then therefore likewise affirm uluhiyyah to him alone. And this is why the first command in the Quran is Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum. Limada? One may ask why? Limada? U'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Because he's the one who created you. Did anyone precede him in that? No. So alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun, that you may gain piety. So he is al-awwalul mubdi bil ibtida'i, he's the first without a beginning. وَالْآخِرُ الْبَاقِ بِالْأَنْتِهَاءِ, and he's the last, and he will remain without, and he is without an end, because he's the first and the last and the highest and the nearest. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. هو الأول ليس قبله شيء وهو الآخر ليس بعده شيء. He's the first, there's no one before Allah, and he is the last, there's no one after Allah, and he's the highest, there's no one above Allah, and he is the باطن, the nearest, there's no one nearer to you than Allah by his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ahad al-Fard al-Qadir al-Azali. Al-Ahad, Allah is al-Ahad, the one and only, who deserves to be worshipped alone. And there was in the 9th century, a nice book by a Shafi'i scholar. We have the book, it's all about Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And this scholar, he refuted some of the Orientalists and some of the people who try to bring doubt regarding the Qur'an. And the Balaghat al-Qur'an, and the Lughat al-Qur'an, they try to find some errors. They said that it shouldn't be al-Ahad, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, it should be Qul Huwallahu al-Wahid. It should be, some of these deviated individuals said, and they try to cause doubt with the Qur'an and the language. They said you should say Qul Huwallahu al-Wahid. Say he is Allah, the One. And not al-Ahad. They said it's wrong. But this Shafi'i Imam in the 9th century or so, he refuted them and said, no, even in the language, Al-Ahad is more perfect here for Allah than Al-Wahid. Because Al-Wahid is countable and Al-Ahad is not countable. Because after Al-Wahid, you have Al-Ithnan, you have two. And then you have three, then you have four, then you have five. But with Al-Ahad, you can't even have two. Nah, because Allah is one and only, and no one like him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But al-wahid, you can have countable. So he refuted them and said that what you are saying is wrong. Al-ahad is the most eloquent here for Allah. For he is one, and he is the only one who deserves to be worshipped, who has no partners. So قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ ahad, say he is Allah, the one and only, who has no partners, no similitude to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-fardu al-qadiru al-azali. No doubt he is al-fard. And Al-Qadir, he is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Al-Qadir, he is the all-able to do all things befitting his great majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Azali, he was always there because he's the first, no one before him. And he is the Samad. As-Samadu al-Barru al-Muhaymanu al-Ali. He is the Samad. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samad. And we say this in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. So what does this mean? Allahu Samad. Allah is the one who is As-Samad. It means, as Sheikh Zayd bin Hadi al-Madkhali explained in his beautiful explanation of the names and attributes of Allah, all mentioned in some beautiful lines of poetry. And he mentioned that As-Samad goes back to the names, the following names, that he is As-Samad. That everybody is in need of Allah to exist, and nobody else is in need, and Allah is in need of nobody else to exist. So we are in need of Allah to exist. The rest of creation is in need of Allah to exist, because he is As-Samad. That's one of the interpretations, that he is the one who has all authority, who allows others besides him to exist. And no one else he needs to for himself to exist. How could it be? How could it not be, I mean, when he himself said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and mankind except that they worship me. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ I don't want any risk. Allah doesn't need provision from you. Allah doesn't want that you feed him. He doesn't accept that he needs food to sustain himself. Allah doesn't need that like you need it. Allah doesn't need that. Doesn't require what we need. Doesn't get tired. Doesn't need food, drink, all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-able, is al-qadir. To do all things based upon His great majesty, befitting His majesty. He doesn't need what you need, you and me need. We get tired, we get hungry, we get thirsty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like you and me. كُلَّمَا خَطَرَ فِي بَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah used to say, and this was a line of poetry which he used to say, everything that you think in your mind that Allah is, yani from what you resemble Allah to creation, then Allah is not like that. Because Allah is not like creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay, wa huwa sami'un basir. There is none comparable unto him, and he is all hearing, all seeing. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته هل تعلم له سميا Your Lord of the heavens and the earth and that which is between them. So be patient upon his worship him and be patient upon his worship. Do you know any similitude to Allah? The answer of course is no. There's no similitude to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him belongs the most highest and the best Naam of descriptions that he himself has given himself and the Messenger Sasim has given him. So Allah is a samad. He is ar-razzaq. He is the provider. He doesn't need you to provide any sustenance or anything other than that to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو قُوَّةٍ مَتِينَ Because he is the razzaq and he is the possessor of quwwah, of power, of might, al-mateen, the almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is al-qawi. He has all power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people are happy with their weaponry and with their F-16s and Abraham tanks. And people are happy with those kind of weaponry. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi. He is the all-powerful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is the almighty. He is al-aziz, al-jabbar, the compeller, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has all authority. And he deals with the oppressors, and he takes care of the oppressed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the needy, and the ones who are ill and sick. He takes care of those who are in need. So he is as-samad, and al-bar, the one who is the most righteous, that calls to all that is good. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Allah commands and enjoins justice and righteousness. Enjoins that you are truthful, that you do not cheat and lie, and you do not tell carry and backbite, and you do not insult, and you do not use foul language. Allah enjoins all that is considered to be righteousness, al-bir. Allah loves that. So he is, and afterwards he said, Al-Muhaymin al-Ali. Al-Muhaymin. Allah is Al-Muhaymin. Sheikh Zayd bin Hadi al-Madkhali explained that this goes back to the meaning of Allah is Al-Muhaymin. قَالَ هُوَ الشَّهِيد. It means that he is the one who is the bearer of witness. He bears witness. He is Shaheed. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا Allah is sufficient to be as a witness. So when you try to hide or try to disclose, yani not to disclose your yani the secrets, Allah knows. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ On that day the secrets will become clear, will become apparent. The secrets you are hiding. Allah knows all of that. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى In the other verse he said, and he knows even what's under that soil, what's under the rock. He knows it. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُمْ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ If it be an atom's weight of a deed and it's inside a rock or in the heavens on the earth, Allah will bring it out. Allah will bring it out. And He is al-Latif, al-Khabir, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows the secret affairs and he takes care of the slave and his servant, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-khabir, the all-aware. So Allah is al-muhaymin, Sheikh Zayd bin Hadi al-Madkhali said, al-shaheed, means that he is a bearer of witness. He knows everything that you do. So when you, if something occurs between you and another person, you and a brother, or sister with a sister, kafa billahi shaheeda. Kafa billahi shaheeda. Allah is sufficient as a witness. He will bring everyone to account for what they have done. He is a shaheed. Ala khalqihi. He is a shaheed. When you are praying, you are 5 times a day. He is a shaheed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are fasting, and when you are doing all the good deeds that you are doing, or whether it is a bad deed that you have fallen into, Allah is a shaheed. So don't look at how small the sin is, or how small the bad deed is, but look how great the one that you are sinning towards. So Allah is a shaheed, the one who bears witness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala khalqihi bima yakun minhum, whatever is going to occur from them, min qawlin aw amal, from speech or action. Wafassarahu ba'dhum, Sheikh Zayd said, and some of them explained it, that Allah is al-muhaymin, meaning he is al-ameen. He is al-ameen. وَبَعْضَهُمْ قَالُوا الرَّقِيبُ, yani the ever watcher. The ever watcher, the one who will yani not be unjust to you in bringing about your justice. عَلَى الشَّيْءِ, yani الرَّقِيبُ عَلَى الشَّيْءِ وَالْحَافِظُ. Not only is he an ever watcher over all affairs, but he is the guardian, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protector. Who can guard you if Allah doesn't guard you? Who can protect you if Allah doesn't protect you? اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, guard Allah's duties and he will protect you. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ, guard Allah's duties and you will find him in front of you, in the other, in your direction, in front of you. In the other narration, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ, in the advice the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So what is the proof of that then, that Allah is al-muhaymin, meaning that he is al-raqib and al-shaheed? Allah mentions in Surah Al-Mujadala verse 6, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, Allah on that day will gather them all together for their reckoning. فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا, and he will tell them all that they used to do. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ نَسُوهُ, Allah is the one who gathered it. Everything that you have done, from the atom's weight of a deed of good, you will see it. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ, and an atom's weight of bad, you will see it. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah is the one who gathered it, and he is the one who is going to bring it forth between you and him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَسُوهُ, but the people forgot it. How many deeds of bad deeds we forgot that we have done? May Allah protect us. May Allah forgive us. How many bad deeds or even good deeds we have forgotten that we have done? How many tasbih, takbir, and tahleel, and tahmid that we have done? But Allah somehow did not forget it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ, Allah gathered every single deed for you, Ya Abdullah. So your fasting is not in vain, and your prayer is not in vain. You standing up for Taraweeh, you pray Salat al-Isha in Jama'ah, you will have half the night in prayer recorded for you. You pray Fajr in Jama'ah, you will have the rest of the night recorded for you, that you woke up as if you woke up for the rest of the night. So imagine you pray Fajr and Isha in Jama'ah, you have the whole night written for you in prayer. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that. It's khair upon khair. أحصاه الله ونسوه, Allah gave it that for you, but they forgot it. They forgot about those good deeds. Naam. Imagine now, and Shaykh Abdul Masih Abbad mentioned this in one of his durus. Imagine now that not only you did that, but imagine now that you prayed with the imam. من صلى مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام الليل. Whoever prays with the imam, Salat al-Tarawih, referring to night prayers, until the imam left, he will have the whole night in prayer written for him. Allahu Akbar. Until he left. Hatta yansarif means, as some of the scholars explained, until he turns his face towards you. Until he turns his face towards you. Not necessarily that he has to leave, but That means the end of the prayer. He turns his face, usually turns it at the end of the prayer. That's what it means. حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام الليل. كتب له قيام الليل. But how about if he did عشاء in jama'ah, فجر in jama'ah, and قيام الليل with the imam? Somebody may say, oh, there's confusion here now. No, ya Abdullah. Allah has protected it for you. Not only one night in prayer, all of it, but double if you do that. هكذا قال الشيخ عبد المسعود عباد. Double. You will not only have the whole night in prayer because you prayed Fajr and Isha and Jama'ah, but you will have that twice in reward. As if you did that twice for one night. So it's two for the price of one, as they say in the shops. We all rush for that. But this is better for you, ya Abdullah. It's better for us that this is now double in reward for one night. Subhanallah. And Shaykh Abdul Muslim brought another example. He said, for example, if you fast the whole month of Ramadan, 30 days or 29, if you do 29 days, you'll be rewarded for 30. This Shaykh Salih Fawzan said that. If the month ends up being 29 days, خلاص, they saw the moon and every 29 days, you will be rewarded for 30. This is the fadl of Allah. يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah gives that to whoever He wills. يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. He gives His mercy to whoever He wills. And Allah is ذُو فَضْل, the possessor of all good, all benefit, all blessing. Al-Azim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, exalted, the greatest, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if imagine you did the whole of Ramadan in ibadah, in fasting, and then you followed it with 6 days of Shawwal. Allahu Akbar. What will be reward for you? The whole year in fasting. But we have another hadith. Shaykh Abdul Muslim mentioned that we have another hadith. If you now fast 3 days of the month, if you have, the Prophet mentioned, if you fast 3 days of the month, again, it's like you have fasted the whole year. So now, is there a contradiction? No, there's no contradiction. Rather, this is now you have 2 years for the 1 year, if you do both. If you do the Ramadan, and you do the 6 days, and you are a person who fasts 3 days of the month, the Ayyam al-Bidh, for example, and then you will have as if you did it for 2 years. This is what the Shaykh mentioned in one of his lectures. So, kafa billahi shahida, Allah is sufficient for us as a witness, and Allah knows who His slaves are. Allah knows who His worshippers are. The ulama, they are His worshippers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend them. Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantu bil harb. Whoever harms a friend of mine, I'm at war with him. So if you're going to say something, you better get it right. If it's an error, then you better get it right. But if it's a slander, then between you and the alim is Allah. That He will deal with you in the way which you deserve. So if it is a real error, then yes, we say, as Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah said, it is allowed for the talib al-ilm with good manners. Look, with good manners, with good wisdom, with wisdom, that he speaks and he advises his teacher or scholar who has made a mistake with good, in a good way, for the talib al-ilm. And the ulama between themselves, na'am, alhamdulillah, they advise each other. Adinu nasiha, adinu nasiha, adinu nasiha, 3 times. And what showing you the significance of advice. But nasiha can also be a correction that is made in a book, in book form or written form. This is allowed. But get it right. Don't oppress. Don't misquote. Get it right. And this is allowed. This is from nasiha also, to say that this is a mistake found in this page and so on. Hada jaiz, this is allowed. But to lie and to add and to delete and to flower it up, yani to make it look dazzling and is not true or is half truth, then this is dangerous. And the person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we have translated this book called Asbabul Inhiraf, to show you why people deviate. And at the back of it, we have a section just on the unintentional errors and slips of the scholars. It's possible alim could make a mistake. Statements of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, and Al-Dhahabi rahimullah, and Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimullah, and from the scholars of today, Shaykh Ali Nasir al-Faqihi. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah says, and whoever is known for being truthful in the ummah, such that he is praised amongst different people in the ummah, young, old, far and near. I put that in brackets. Yani, in the ummah, different people amongst the ummah, then they are, yani, because they are known as being ulama, then they are the scholars of guidance. They are those lanterns giving light amidst darkness, and their mistakes are few compared to their correct positions. Most of their errors are from the affairs of ijtihad, the affairs where ijtihad is permitted. They are excused, he says, and I put in brackets, for not intending to err where the error is rejected, but the honor of the scholar is upheld. We don't accept the error, wherever it comes from. Then Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah continued, they are the ones who follow knowledge and justice, far away from ignorance, oppression, conjecture, and what the souls desire. Majmu' Fatawa, chapter 11, page 423, to go back for your own self, to because we're not like those who just put it out there and no page number, nothing. You know, Allah Aina, you go and look for it. Whether he said it or didn't say it, or whether the translation is correct, go back and check it. We have nothing to fear, alhamdulillah. We have, because our da'wah and our manhaj is clear, alhamdulillah, that this is the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah. And whoever strayed from this has strayed in this matter. Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimullah, said, indeed, the elder from the scholars of knowledge, if in most cases he is correct, and his striving in reaching the truth is known, his knowledge becomes vast, his intelligence becomes apparent, his righteousness and fear of Allah and following the sunnah is known, then his slip or error, and his slip is forgiven. We do not consider him misguided and end up leaving him and forgetting his good. Yes, we do not follow him in his innovation and mistake. Rather, we hope for repentance from that. This is in Sirat Alam Nubala. We hope that he turns back. That's what we hope for him. But we don't accept the error. And also we have to look at what the error is. If the error is in usul, then yes, there should be a correction, and there should be a statement, yani, and the people and the ulama, usually they are the ones who correct. And anyone else who has known that this is an error in usul, in the fundamentals of the deen, then they must say that this is wrong. They must say that this is wrong. And we don't accept any errors in usul. La shak wa la rib. However, if it's a matter of ijtihad, from the branches, not from the issues of usul, then this is something else. And alhamdulillah, the ulama are quick to take an error back. If they said something, a slip, they will say, astaghfirullah, that was a mistake. Like Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah, the issue of Ka'b bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said, clearly, I made a mistake. Still, that's not sufficient for some people. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimullah, said, whoever has knowledge of the legislation and the reality is known without doubt, that the honorable person who has clear signs of righteousness and is known for his status in Islam and amongst the people, if he has an error and slip, and I put in an errors in brackets, in matters of permitted ijtihad, he is excused, because there's no excuse for usul. Fundamentals of the deen, there's no excuse. And this is if an alim made a mistake in a matter of usul, then we say it is a mistake. We cannot accept excuse for that. Rather, so if it's a matter of ijtihad, then he is excused, rather rewarded, and it is not allowed for him to be followed for that error. It is not allowed to remove his position and status as imam and level from the hearts of the Muslims. I'lam Waqi'in, chapter 3, page 295. And Shaykh Ali Nasir Faqih also, a nice statement there. So the manhaj is not something which is hidden. This is the same as what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has said, and we follow that. And Allah is Al-Muhaymin. Allah is Al-Raqib. Allah is the ever-watcher, and he is the one who is a shaheed, who knows everything what the slave has done out of oppression, or if it is true, then it is upon the alim to correct his error for what he has done. Whoever he may be, As-Samadul Barrul Muhaiminul Ali. Continuing with the mandoma of Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimullah, he said, Sahibu Tawakkul, that they, and we mentioned this last week, that they are the ones who use Tawakkul, as they made Tawakkul as their companion, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They relied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their affairs. Fi jami'i umurihim, in all of their affairs. Ma'a badli juhdin fi ridha al-Rahmani, by striving their utmost in pleasing the most merciful. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Tawakkal ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut. So rely upon al-hayy, the one who is the all-living, who doesn't die. So rely upon Allah. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. This is from Tawakkul. If you ask, ask Allah alone. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. And when you seek help, seek it from help, seek it from Allah alone. عبد الإله على اعتقاد حضوره. فتبوأوا في منزل الإحسان. They worshipped their Lord. They worshipped Allah, and at the same time believing as though He is watching them. اعتقاد حضوره means that they believe that He is watching them, and He is hearing them, and He knows what they are doing. اعتقاد حضوره. They know that Allah Azza wa Jal knows about their affair, and He sees them. So they worship Allah upon the state of ihsan. These are the happiest of people, ya ikhwan. فَتَبَوَّأُوا فِي مَنْزِلِ الْإِحْسَانِ. So the end result is what? They reach the manzila of al-ihsan. Because you're Muslim, and if you are more pious, striving, you're mu'min, and then if you strive even more to worship Allah, though you see Him, though you don't see Him, He sees you, as in the hadith of Jibreel, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. This is ihsan. The person's a muhsin. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And Allah loves the muhsinin. Those who are righteous, who are, subhanallah, they are, now they have reached the highest level of ihsan. And ihsan is not to, na'am, to lie and to cheat and to spread slanders. This is not from ihsan. This is one who's kharban, not ihsan. Ihsan is the characteristic of being truthful and being sadiq, as Allah says, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and being of those who don't lie and don't cheat and don't deceive and don't spread false rumors, and those who don't harm the Muslims with their hand and tongue, as the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. So you want to reach that level of ihsan, then you have to worship Allah though you see Him. تراقب نفسك, to check yourself every day. You're checking yourself. Is this going to please Allah, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, or is it going to take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So هذه المنزلة يقالها منزلة الإحسان. So if the person is on this منزلة, he's a person who, when he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone. When he hates for Allah's sake. He hates for Allah's sake. He loves and he hates for Allah's sake. And he has tasted the sweetness of faith. ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. He loves Allah more than anyone else. He loves this person only for the sake of Allah. And he hates to return to kufr, just like he hates to be thrown into the fire. نَصَحُ الْخَلِيقَةِ فِي رِضَى مَحْبُوبِهِمْ. They advised the creation. They devise the people seeking the pleasure of the one they love, of Allah. So thereupon advising. Just like now in Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, you have Sheikh Rabi Hafizullah and Sheikh Salih Fawzan from the foremost scholars who are advising and correcting the errors that are in the newspapers, in the national newspapers. Somebody writes and he makes a mistake. Like for example, this particular year, or at the beginning of this year, and the end of last year, there were individuals writing saying that, you know, music is allowed. SubhanAllah, writing it on the newspapers and music is allowed. And this was a person who is Hafiz Quran. That music, he said the music is allowed. Just like here you have one, Hafiz Quran, who says that music is allowed. And says that we came from apes, yani monkeys, salah salama. So statements of this one is statement of kufr to say you came from a monkey. You came from Adam alayhi salam. This is clear. It's in the Quran. But again, hafiz. But what is amazing? Hafiz Quran, and you call the people to music. Allah ajib. This one is kalamullah. This one is from a shaytan. Kalamullah is Quran. And as for music, it's from shaytan. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوهُ. So it's a najm, last part. Do you joke and laugh and not cry when the Quran is being mentioned? Because the mushrikun, they used to laugh and joke and play music. وأنتم سامدون. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما والله إنها غنى والله إنها غنى والله إنها غنى. By Allah is music, by Allah is music, by Allah is music. What? سامدون وأنتم سامدون. So we take from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما that this was the trait of the mushrikun. They used to laugh and joke when the Quran is being recited. Laugh and joke and play their music to take the people away from the Quran to their music. To their music. And this is what's happening. This is what's happening. You get used to music. They first start you on classical music, like the Ash'ari Sufis. First we have classical music. Later you say, what's the difference between classical music and other type of music? You will go astray. Your heart become blackened with sins. Na'am. And yet, okay, another incident. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he is Abdullah ibn Umar, most strict, from the most strict Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his path, following his actions radiallahu anhu. And he, with his student, who's his student? Nafi' Ya Nafi', they pass by music. So Abdullah ibn Umar puts his fingers in his ears. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want it to enter his heart. His heart, alhamdulillah, he has memorized from what he has memorized from the Quran. Allahu a'lam, is all of it. But he has memorized at least portions, great portions of the Quran. And he's got dhikr of Allah. He's upon dhikr of Allah. And he's upon ibad. And he doesn't want the music to enter his heart. So he puts his fingers in his ears. Huh? And he's saying to Nafi', Ya Nafi', atasma'u shay? Do you hear anything? And he kept on saying that, oh Nafi', do you hear anything? Until Nafi' says no. Because now he's teaching Nafi', his student, he's teaching him, this is what we do when we go past. So that when you also, later, this is, you know that this is what we do. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't want to listen to music to enter their heart. Was it mentioned classical music? Rock music? Was it mentioned pop music? No, it just said music. Passed by music. He put fingers in his head. So therefore, there was no distinction then. Music is music. With the mazamir, the instruments that are known, the ma'azif, as in the hadith in Bukhari, my ummah will make five things halal that were originally haram. One of them is ma'azif. My ummah will make it halal. There will come a people who will take it as being halal, was originally haram. So the Bukhari, Ibn Hazm, tried to make this hadith da'if, and the scholars of hadith refuted Ibn Hazm and said to him, "This is you have come with an incorrect, from an incorrect angle, incorrect ijtihad in this matter. The hadith in Bukhari is sahih, is authentic. Alhamdulillah, and the scholars of hadith, na'am, stood up for that. So therefore, they left it. They left. They did not, were not people who were used to waste their time. Because they knew that it will occupy them away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew that this is what the Rasulullah s.a.w. said about this. So now we have this takfiri saying that what? That what he said, Nafi' listened. So if Ibn Umar didn't listen, then Nafi' listened. MashaAllah. We are following the student or the teacher? The teacher is teaching the student. This is what we are following, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba. So they advise, the ulama, they advise. When this person said there's music is allowed and he brought some shubuhat, doubts, they refuted him. Who is it? Refuted him? Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ibn Mas'abad, and other than them. And when this other one said that ikhtilat is allowed, mixing of men and women is allowed, huh? Then what did the ulama do? They refuted. They refuted the person who said it was allowed. So alhamdulillah, they advised to the best of their ability. They advised, seeking inshallah the rida, the pleasure of the one they love, bil ilmi. And Sheikh Rabi said that. Must be with knowledge, not upon conjecture, I think. Must be upon knowledge. بالعلم, their advice, whether it is secret advice between them and that which is the sins between them and Allah, they go to that person that they have come to know and they say, well, secret advice between him and Allah. But if it's an open error, they advise them as well, either in yani by writing it down or going to them, or and there's no harm in writing it down and spreading it if the errors have already spread far and wide. Bas bil ilm, with knowledge, not with conjecture. I think maybe Sheikh Albani Ahmadullah says, Da al qadqada, leave the maybes. Because if you say maybe, it could be this, I will say to you maybe it could be that. So leave off the maybes. Be sure that this is an error and that this is not a matter of ijtihad in from the branches. If it is from the branches, a matter of ijtihad, then he, the alim, will get two rewards for getting it right, and you get only one reward for getting it wrong. You get one reward for getting it wrong and two rewards. But you are yani slating him for a matter of ijtihad. This is incorrect. بالعلم إذن لابد من العلم والفهم, not فهم, لابد من الفهم الصحيح والإرشاد والإحسان. الله أكبر. So the نصيحة with إرشاد, hoping that there is some rushd that's going to come out of that. What is a rushd? Rushd is عمل الصالح, that with good deeds, in a good way. ادفع بالتي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبين عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. والإحسان, with righteousness. This is who is saying this? The Mufassir of the Quran, the teacher of Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he's saying, نصحوا, they gave advice, al-Khaliqa, the people, في رضا محبوبهم, بالعلم والإرشاد والإحسان, not بالفوضى, not in chaos, all over the place. صاحب الخلائق بالجسوم وإنما أرواحهم في منزل فوقاني. صاحب الخلائق بالجسوم. And so they, amongst the people, they lived, and they bore their harms. And the one who lives with the people and bears their harms is better than the one who doesn't. So they are amidst the people, advising them, encouraging them to worship Allah, keep away from the haram, and so on and so on. They're not aloof, far away. Oh, they are trying their best. The ulama, no doubt. صاحب الخلائق بجسوم أو بالجسوم وإنما أرواحهم في منزل فوقاني. But their souls are seeking the one above, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their advice. هذه حالهم مع الخلق أكمل حال وأجلها. This is their hal, this is their situation with the creation. The most complete of situations. The most complete of ways. وأجلها, most honorable. So they advise, they want, why? Because they want from the person who is wrong, who made a mistake, they want him to come closer to the truth. They want him to be on the truth. Slowly, slowly bringing him closer to the truth. This is what they want. They want just name and shame, you know. Unless the person is deserving of it, a person of innovator who actually... But we're talking about a alim who made a mistake. They want to correct the error, slowly, slowly. Yani, the advice to the best of their ability. If it's an innovator who's caused so much confusion and so on, that's different. A mubtadi'. Not like Ahl Sunnah, Alim from Ahl Sunnah. There's a big difference. No. Then he said, Ala billahi da'wat al-khala'iq wal-mashahid kulliha. Khawfan ala al-imani min nuqsani. And likewise, they supplicate for the creation, that they are upon the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who bears witness to all that occurs. And they themselves are afraid. خوفاً على الإيمان من نقصان. They themselves are afraid that their iman will decrease. So they strive their utmost for themselves first. And then they, if they see an error or mistake, from their brother, from the alim or someone, they do their best that the mistake is rectified in the best of ways. If it's Ahl Bid'ah, then no doubt they still have to use knowledge. They must know the affair. Shaykh Rabi Hafidhullah said they must know the bid'ah. They must know that it's an error, and they can refute it. Then he said, عَزَفُ الْقُلُوبِ عَنِ الشَّوَاغِلِ كُلِّهَا قَدْ فَرَغُوهَا قَدْ فَرَغُوهَا مِنْ سِوَى الرَّحْمَانِ. So here also, they occupied their heart away from being occupied from the dunya affairs, from the shawaghil al-dunya. They made their heart occupied with worshipping Allah, with al-Rahman, worshipping Allah, with calling upon al-Rahman, with worshipping al-Rahman. They left their heart occupied for worshipping Allah, for dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't busy themselves away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah described the Sahaba like this. Rijalun, Allah says, Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un an dhikrillah. They were men. No doubt they were men. And that were not occupied with business and wealth over the dhikr of Allah. When the dhikr of Allah came, when the salah came, when the ibadah, time for ibadah came, khalas, they were upon the ibadah. They strove their utmost. They wanted to get to the masjid on time. They wanted to keep up the ibadah. They wanted to guard their tongue. SubhanAllah, look how beautiful fasting is. When a person's fasting, doesn't talk a lot. That's so true, so apparent. When you are not fasting, how many times you talk and busy yourself? So here, عَزَفُ الْقُلُوبِ. Fasting is a way of rectifying the heart, to be upon the dhikr of Allah and to get busy with that which will benefit you. قَدْ فَرَغُوهَا مِنْ سِوَى الرَّحْمَانِ حَرَكَاتُهُمْ وَهُمُومُهُمْ وَعُزُومُهُمْ. The harakat, their movements and their concern and that which they end up doing, they strive to do, yani the steps that they take in doing, لِلَّهِ, for Allah. Their concern is for Allah. Please Allah, they can see their movement, whatever harakat that they do, whether it is in their prayer, whether it is the harakat to the masjid, each step they take to the masjid and back, that Allah raises them a degree and forgives them a sin. Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, all of that they do for Allah. So they are mukhlisoon, they are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not those who spread mischief and lies. They're careful with their harakat. And the tongue is the easiest harakat to put you in trouble. No doubt. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدْ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةٍ لَا يَأْخُذُ لَهَا بَالًا يَهْوِي بِهَا إِلَى النَّارِ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The person may say a statement, he doesn't even realize what he's saying. Doesn't give you concern. He may end up, because of that statement, the distance between the heavens and the earth in the hellfire. And he will end up in the hellfire, the distance that he will be, the distance of the heavens and the earth, how far down he will be, because of one statement, ya akhwan. One statement. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you guarantee for yourself, that you have guarded your tongue all your life? Can you guarantee yourself that you didn't say that statement that will end up putting you in the hellfire? Aisha radiallahu anha, all she said was, Safiya is short. She didn't even say it. She just made a gesture with her hand. She didn't even say it. Just a gesture. And the Prophet said that, I don't remember from the wording that she said it. If I'm mistaken, then that's from my weakness. But what I understood from the Kitab al-Adhkar from al-Nawawi, on all those narrations are there, that she made a gesture. And because of that, the Prophet said, due to that, it as if you have changed the ocean in color, the whole ocean, because of what you said, or because of what you did, yani the gesture, that she, and that was signifying that she is short. Just because of that, subhanAllah. So how about what we say? How about what others say? sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah protect us and forgive us. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned many narrations, ya ikhwan, where are we going to start? Start from the Quran. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad, your Lord is ever watchful. Qala ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu, labil mirsad, yasma' wa yara, he hears and he sees. This is sufficient for us. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. No statement that emanates except there is one ready to record it. رَقِيب, عَتِيد, ready. Who knows exactly what you're saying? And the angels, they record, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know all that you do. They're recording it for that day when the people will be given their record. إِفَعِلِّيِّينَ أَوْ سِجِّينَ. Which one are we going to get? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to those liars on that day, because they got the book Sijjin recording all their lies and slanders and disbeliefs and so on. Was it عِلِّيِّينَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The righteous ones will have the illiyun or the record, or will be in that state where they will be happy, rejoicing with what they have put forward. Everything is written, ya ikhwan. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا ويوم نسير الجبال وترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. They will, the مجرم, the evil doer, مشفقين, they will be in a state of إشفاق, مشفق على نفسه, so saddened about what he has done. He's an evil doer. It's sad now, it's too late, ya akhi, for the one who ended up being the muflis. Naam. Who is the muflis? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, some of them said, he's the one who doesn't have money. He's a muflis, doesn't have anything. No dirham wala dinar. Prophet said, no, the muflis is not that one. The muflis is the one who comes on the day of judgment. وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, and he's insulted this one. وَأَخَذَ مَالَ هَذَا, and took the wealth of that one. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and he hit this one. He harmed this one. That's the muflis. His deeds, good deeds will be given to the one he's harmed. And the bad deeds of the one that he harmed will be given to him if he has no good deeds. That's the muflis. The one who's wretched. Wallahi, wretched. Because he doesn't guard his tongue. He doesn't know what comes out of his head. لا يدري ما يقول ولا ما قال. He's not what he said, nor what he said in the past. He just speaks blabber mouth. Yeah, he just talks a lot. He's a big mouth. He can't guard his tongue. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Doesn't know the danger of the tongue and the bad consequences of the tongue. Refer to the book we translated in 1995. The bad consequences of the tongue. When we left that Jam'iyya Ihya Minhaj al-Sunnah, then they reprinted it and took out many things without my permission. All will be recorded, everything, subhanallah. And wrote in the introduction that we have his permission, subhanallah. Allah is sufficient. But go back to that book, you'll find there are narrations which I have been translated from Al-Adhkar of An-Nawawi Rahimahullah. And alhamdulillah, I've retranslated the book again with going back only to the statements of Nawawi Rahimullah, and maybe mentioning some of the statements of Ahlul Sunnah that we know. For that book, we translated it, it was actually from a tape without knowing that the narrations were in and the section of guarding the tongue by Nawawi. And when we came to know that, we took off the name of the one we put in the early days because he was unknown. And our deen is based upon taking the knowledge from those who are unknown. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts it and protect us from falling into that which which is yani will cause people to fall into the haram. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are other narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many narrations, he spoke about the dangers of the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about well, let's take the narration of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Muwatta Imam Malik, he was seen to be pulling out his tongue. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best of the Sahaba, pulling out his tongue, and he's a Siddiq. And Umar ibn Khattab said, may Allah forgive you, what are you doing? He said, this has brought me to destruction. SubhanAllah. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, saying this has brought me destruction. So if the Sahaba were careful like that, and they were the best of the people, no doubt, how about us? We'd be even more careful. Or we have to be, yani, we have to be careful also, I should have said. We have to also be careful. Because it may be we say something that will land us in the hellfire, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa passed by two graves and he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانُ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرًا أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ وَفِي الرِّوَايَةِ بِالْغِيبَةِ وَأَمَّا الْآخِرِ فَكَانَ لا يستتر من بوله. Two people punished in the graves, one because of backbiting or tail carrying, because there's two different wordings, and the other one is because he wasn't careful when he went to urinate, that the urine would not go on his clothes, it went all over, or that he didn't hide himself from the people's eyes when he urinated. These are the two explanations given by Shaykh Abbad, Shaykh Abdul Abbad, Hafidhullah. So عزف القلوب عن شواغل كلها. They made their hearts occupied away from a shawaghil, occupied with other than themselves. Some people are like that. SubhanAllah. Busy, having jealousy over this one. Look, he has this and he has that. The sister, oh, she's wearing this and she's wearing that and she's got this and she's got that. SubhanAllah. Jealousy, hasad, wanting for that ni'mah to be removed from the person and wanting it to come to you. This is shawaghil of the heart, away from the dhikr of Allah. Shawaghil of the heart, hoping. We plan a lot for dunya. We want this, we want that, we want nice house, nice this, nice. We plan a lot, but these are all shawaghil. What is it that really that we are seeking and should be seeking? Is, as he said, that we should empty that heart away from these aspects and leave it for the love of Ar-Rahman. Leave it for seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being upon Tawheed, by worshipping Allah alone, by seeking Allah alone, by having sincerity to Allah. So their movements, their concern, and their azima, their uzumuhum, their azima, their striving. Now they're getting on and doing what they wanted to do. Lillah. For Allah, not for the people, say mashallah, he is. La lil khalq. Because if you do it for the khalq, this will land you in the hellfire. Or one of the reasons that may land you in the hellfire is that you do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because shirk is the most severest of sins. La lil khalq. Wa shaytani. Why do it for the people? What can the people give you? Nothing. People praise you, that's all you're seeking, the praise of the people. Whoever learns knowledge to gather the people around him, or to argue with the ulama with it, then the fire. That was the concern of that individual. He wanted just people to be around him, to be followers. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was walking, and some of the tabi'een, some of the people wanted to be with him because he is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, with much knowledge. They wanted to be around him, following him. They would wait at his doorstep, walk with him, try to be like when we see the ulama as well. We'd like to benefit from them, subhanAllah. What did Ibn Mas'ud say? Don't follow me, for it is fitna lil matbu' wa fitnatun lil tabi', because it's a trial for the one you're following, and a trial for the one that is following. Trial for the followed and the following. It's trial. It's a fitna. Don't follow me. Subhanallah. Yani he didn't want people to overpraise him. So لا للخلق والشيطاني, because shaitan only wants to put you in the hellfire. ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan, he's a clear enemy. So everything that will occupy you away from Allah, keep away. And this is zuhd. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di explained it himself, rahimahullah, said, this is zuhd. That you're abstinent from loving this dunya. You're abstinent. Your heart is clear from loving this dunya. But does that mean that you don't have no car? That you just walk barefooted? No car, nothing. Doesn't mean that. You need to get from A to B. You need to do your concerns. And based upon your ability, if you can afford a nice car, alhamdulillah. But don't be extravagant. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They are in the middle. Neither miserly nor extravagant. And their hearts were not connected with the dunya anyway. Ibn Abbas, when he went to the Khawarij, he wore a nice cloak. They wore a nice cloak, bisht or cover. And they said to him, what is this that you are wearing? Because they thought that zuhud meant that you have to have ripped clothes and that you have to, you know. Ibn Abbas is not inclined. He's not wearing it out of love for it. But he just happened to have it. Somebody may have given it to him as a gift. He just happened to have a nice cloak. And he said, in how he refuted him, he said, wallah, I indeed saw the Messenger Sallallahu wearing better than this. I saw the Messenger Sallallahu wearing better than this. So therefore, zuhud is not that any. You become abstinent so much so that you you don't even have that which will fulfill your needs, the most basic of needs that you need. But zuhud is that your heart is not inclined to it. It's not inclined to it. But these are only from the affairs of the dunya. So here he says, نِعْمَ الرَّفِيقِ لِطَالِبِ السُّبُلِ الَّتِي. What a blessed friend for the one who seeks the path, الَّتِي تَقْضِي إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, which calls you to, leads you to khayrat, to doing good deeds. What a blessed friend that is, that calls you to do that and doing righteous deeds. فَهَؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُسْعَدُ بِهِمْ رَفِيقُهُمْ أو يَسْعَدُ بِهِمْ رَفِيقُهُمْ إِذَا اقْتَدَى بِسُلُوكِ سَيْرِهِمْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَمَرَنَا اللَّهُ أَنْ نَسْأَلَهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَنَا طَرِيقَهُمْ إِذْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِصِدْقِ إِيمَانِهِمْ. So they are the ones who are the happiest of people to be given friends and companions who call them to all that is good. The likes of the ulama, to be with the alim who teaches the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نعم الرفيق. What a blessed friend that is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us to follow in his path. Then he said, after that he said, وصلى الله وسلم على على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رزقنا الله وإياكم السير على خطاهم والاقتداء بأثرهم. So this is the end of the Risala. I don't think I've missed anything out. Just check, making sure. So these are the people who are the happiest, are the people who take this blessed path, the path of rectifying their hearts. In summary, that is what he was calling to, rectifying their hearts by worshipping Allah, by believing in him correctly, by having tawakkul, having worshipping Allah upon ihsan, upon righteousness, and believing Allah correctly. For those who don't, for those who, just as a clarification before we end, and that is, they worship Allah and they believe in Him correctly. This is the heaviest thing on the scales on the Day of Judgment. So they say that Allah is Ar-Rahman, He's the most merciful. Al arsh istawa, was rose above the arsh and ascended in a way which befits his majesty. Bidhatihi, by his self and his essence, he is above the arsh. This kalima bidhatihi, I mentioned to you, it's found in Abu Zur'a and Abu Hatim al-Razi's book, Aslus Sunnah, that Allah is above the arsh by his essence. But he can see us, and he knows what we are doing. And Imam Ubaidullah ibn Sa'id Abu Nasr al-Sijzi from the 5th century, he died 444 Hijriya. He said there is ijma', there is consensus of this belief. He says, وَأَئِمَّتُنَا, our scholars like Sufyan al-Thawri and Malik and Hammad ibn Salama and Hammad ibn Zayd and Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Fudayl and Ibn Mubarak and Ahmad and Ishaq, they are all in agreement. مُتَّفِقُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ بِذَاتِهِ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his essence and self is above the arsh. وَعِلْمُهُ بِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ, and his knowledge is everywhere. This is mentioned in Al-Marrakshiyya. This was a question that was given to Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahmullah from Marrakesh, which is in Morocco. That was called Al-Qa'ida Al-Marrakshiyya. In the Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it, and the question was all about Asma'u Sifat. Tell us what about Asma'u Sifat. The question itself was wrong, the wording itself was wrong. Alhamdulillah, this was taught in Masjid al-Nabawi, Alhamdulillah, bi ni'mati tatimu salihat. This is why in Medina, wallahi akhwan, lots of durus, and you can study the books of Ibn Taymiyyah and Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and the books of Imam Ahmad, and other than them from A'imma, Qirwaniyya, of Ibn Abi Zayd. Yani this is just in Aqidah, in Fiqh, Bulugh al-Maram, Umdat al-Ahkam, Lu'lu' al-Marjan, and this is in by way of Hadith, and Fiqh by way of the A'immatul al-Madahib, yani the A'imma, the likes of Umdat al-Fiqh, and Manar al-Sabil, and other than that, from the books that are being taught. And you can study the books of Hadith, Sunan Ibn Majah, which Shaykh al-Muslim finished in 2.5 years, and now he's doing Bukhari. And you got Shaykh Ali Nasir Faqih doing Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Barbahari, the explanation of Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. And you have also Shaykh Salih Suhaimi teaching Kitab al-Tawheed, and other than that, yani from the books, and Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabir is teaching Bukhari, and he's teaching Umdatul Fiqh, and likewise Shaykh Abdullah Bukhari is teaching Umdatul Fiqh, and he just finished Usul al-Thalatha, going back to the fundamental books. And Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi is doing Ma'arij al-Qubul, and he's doing also Manar al-Sabil, and he will start two more durus. When he said he will start two more durus in September, one in Hadith, Mustalah al-Hadith, Nukhbatul Fikr, and the other one in Usul al-Fiqh, Al-Waraqat. Durus after durus, ya akhwan. And other than that, from Hifd al-Qur'an, from al-Tajweed, that you can study in Masjid al-Nabawi, all of that is happening, ya akhwan. It's blessing. Al-Madinatu khayru lahum law kanu ya'lamun. Medina is better for them if they only knew. If you can get to it, get to it. Not for the sake of Islamic University of Medina, this is only a means to get in. For those who can get into to Medina by way of the Jami'ah, alhamdulillah. But be careful, not every teacher you'll find is Salafi. You'll find different types of teachers. So, you have to be careful in that regard. However, the greater good is that you sit with the alim, sit with the ulama. And this is what I heard anyway from Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi and other than them, who said that still there's khair. There's about 15 or so or more teachers that I can name you now by the from my head of the ulama salafiyin that are, alhamdulillah, teaching in the Jamia Islamiyah. But there are others who say wrong things and who are upon the wrong way. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid you that you don't just, for those who have already gone there, that they don't just stay in the Jamia, but they go out, and any ishkal they ask the ulama, and they keep away from any shubuhat from the people. InshaAllah salama. If that's the situation, of course, if you ask me, if you're able to get in Medina, study with the alim directly, either by job or anything, wallahi, that's for me is better. Why? Because I personally don't want to sit with anyone except Salafi, except that he is the alim of the sunnah, teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of the scholars and the other scholars have said this. And we prefer also that you take your deen from the ones that you know, Ahlul Sunnah. So you get in there for a job, or other than that for Iqama. Alhamdulillah, you can sit in Masjid al-Nabawi from the morning till the evening. You can sit with the other ulama around the haram. Alhamdulillah, and there's khair. So this is in Qa'id al-Marrakshiyya. What brought that out is because I remember it was being taught in Masjid al-Nabawi. Alhamdulillah, it was a nice risala, good risala by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And just to show you that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah didn't bring anything new regarding this belief. It wasn't only him who mentioned it, but also we mentioned to you Imam al-Sijzi, the Shafi'i Imam from the 5th century. Ibn Taymiyyah died 728 Hijriya. So before him, he said this. So what is Ibn Taymiyyah doing? He's only reviving the aqidah of those who came before, reviving the same aqidah. You find it in his Majmu' Fatawa. You find his students have mentioned it, like Ibn al-Qayyim and al-Dhahabi, and other than them. So here we have scholars, like carbon copy. The aqidah is one. And we have another statement by Abu al-Hasan al-Kurji Muhammad ibn Abdullah Abdul Malik al-Shafi'i, who died 532. He said in lines of poetry regarding Allah being above the arsh, by his essence, he says, عَقَائِدُهُمْ أَنَّ الْإِلَهَ بِذَاتِهِ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ مَا عِلْمِهِ بِالْغَوَائِبِ. So he knows the unseen, the غَوَائِب or the غَائِب, but Ahl al-Sunnah's belief is that Allah is above the arsh by his that. And that is mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah and al-Dhahabi. They quoted that from this 5th, 6th century imam. So did Ibn Taymiyyah bring anything new? No. He stated what the previous scholars have said. At-Talamanki, the Maliki Imam, he said, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah muttafiqun ala anna Allah astawa bi dhatihi ala arshihi. This is in Al-Marrakshiyya. And there are statements, one after the other. We don't have really the time to go through all of them. But just know that, alhamdulillah, the aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is preserved. The deen is preserved. Quran Sunnah ala fahm al-salaf is preserved. Wa ila alhamd. Jazakumullah khairan for the scholars who are teaching it currently and continue to teach it, and those who have taught it before, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them anything and raise them many levels, because they have brought us much good. There's some questions here. The dua qunut, is this from the sunnah? Jazakallah khair. From what we know is that the Prophet ﷺ did not do the dua qunut in the first part of the Ramadan, but in the second part. In the second part, not in the first part. Allahu alam, if there are any corrections regarding what I have read, you can correct me. But what I know is that he, in the first part, he would not do it, but in the second part, he would do the dua qunut. Second part meaning second half of Ramadan. This is what I read. Yani from the Ahlul Ilm, that he would do it in the second part, not the first part. And the dua qunut, which you say the witr in the before or after the ruku', there is those narrations that mention before the ruku', which is the asl, as Shaykh Albani rahimahullah says. And as for after the ruku', then that is for the nawazil, yani if calamities occur where the Prophet would supplicate against certain individuals that caused a lot of harm, then that would be after the ruku'. But Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, after and before, both of them are established in the sunnah, so you can do it either before or afterwards. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. And it is good to say it, inshallah. But the sunnah, far as I know, is that he didn't do it every night, but he did it in the second part of the Ramadan. And Allah knows best. Do you do it here? Currently, you don't do it now. No. And this is what we know, that this is the first part. You don't do it. Do you do it in the second part? No. Yeah, khalas, alhamdulillah. We have ijma'. Huh? What is the ruling regarding claiming a place in the first row after praying two rak'ahs in that spot, then leaving an item in that spot to come back later? If it is your place and you were first to it, then it is your spot. And you have to go out, say, to go to the toilet, then it is your spot. But however, you have to look at the situation. If it's going to cause so much congestion to get back, and so much, you know, problems and that, to get back into the... then you may find it difficult getting back. But because the people may pray, they can't wait for your keys, yani, not move them. If it's there, they can't leave the gap. Prophet says, close the gaps, don't let shaitan enter. So, it depends. If it is, you prayed your two rak'ahs sunnah, and alhamdulillah, there's a lot of time left before you catch the salah, then it's different. But if it's during the tarawih, and you expect to get all the way back, and it's your, they're not going to leave a gap while the prayer is continuing. Why do we have to call ourselves Salafi when Allah calls us Muslims? وَهُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Allah called you Muslims. Allah. Why do you call yourself Salafi? You call yourself Salafi to distinguish yourself, just as the ulama of the past distinguished themselves from the non-Salafi. Because, as Shaykh Muqbir rahimullah used to say, that this tamyiz aided us. The distinction between right and wrong aided us and aided the da'wah. And why you call yourself Salafi? Because everybody else now, he says, I'm Muslim, but he's deviated. And why do you want to waste your time in saying I'm Muslim upon the sunnah and they understand the Salaf? Just say Salafi. It's easy. Shaykh Albani Ahmad said that. So the person said to him, why do we, same question, why do we call ourselves Salafi? He said to him, when Allah named you Muslims, named us Muslims. He said to him, okay, then you are Muslim, Sunni or Shi'i? He said, I'm Muslim, Sunni. He said, okay, Muslim, Sunni, upon the way of the Salaf or Salih, upon the way of the Ash'aris and Maturidis and Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazilah. Which are you? He said, I am Muslim, Sunni, upon the way of the Salaf or Salih. He says, Ya akhi, rayahni wa rayah nafsak. Make me, yani, make yourself, don't waste my time and don't waste your time, basically. Just say Salafi, khalas. What's the big deal? If I asked you, which country are you from? I'll ask anyone. Which country are you from? Iraq. So you are? Iraqi. Maghrib? Maghrabi. Britannia? Britanni. Huh? Ordon? Ordoni. Any more countries we have here? So much. So here we have the Ya Nisbah. The Ya Nisbah. The Ya of belonging to. That I come from this country, for example. You have a problem if someone says to you, are you Maghrabi? He says, no, I'm not Maghrabi. I am Maghrabi. Yes, there's no problem with that. Sah? So you have no problem in saying and ascribing to your country, but you have a problem in ascribing to the Sahaba and the best of the people. Ajib. Ajib. And as for the person on YouTube who said that the ones who say that he is Salafi is like he's saying, I'm a dead person. What did he say? I'm a dead person. Huh? I'm a dead righteous man. Yani upon the way of the Salaf. I'm a dead righteous. That's not what it means. That shows ignorance in the Arabic language. Huh? That shows ignorance in the Arabic language. How does that mean that, Yaqi? Who said that? Nobody said that, Yaqi, from the ulama. This shows you that the person who said that is not upon knowledge. And yes, and he also said this, Allah Ihdi Wahdina Ajma'in. Inshallah he'll come to know when the truth comes to him. That this was just that you better don't talk. Don't talk. Wallahi, don't talk. Yani, this is deen. We only speak with that which Allah and His Messenger said and Sahaba conveyed. And we speak with what the ulama have said. But please, don't talk on this issue that you don't understand. He said, oh, and the first one to invent it was Albani, rahimullah. Ya akhi. How can you claim Albani, rahimullah, is the first one to invent it? Before him, ya akhi, you have in Sir Alam al-Nubala, the compilation by Dhahabi, rahimullah. When he came to the Salaf, the pious predecessors, whenever he mentioned them, he would say, the likes of Abdullah Mubarak, look at the biography of Abdullah Mubarak. Abdullah Mubarak as-Salafi. As-Salafi. So is Albani invented it? No, Albani did not invent it. But this was in the books. If you read books of Salaf, of ulama, you will see it's there. If you go to Al-Aqid Al-Wasatiyya at the end, you will see there that upon us is to follow the way of the Salaf And the ijma' that's binding is the ijma' of the salaf. This is because why? It was easier to ascertain ijma' then. He mentioned it there, Ibn Taymiyyah, in the 8th century. And before Ibn Taymiyyah. And Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, volume 4, page 139. Is it 139? I memorized it a long time ago. 149. Volume 4, 149. What did he say? لا عيب لمن أظهر مذهب السلف واعتز إليه. There's no shame upon the one who professes, he claims openly the manhaj of the salaf. واعتز إليه. He follows it, abides by it. And then he said, بل يجب قبول ذلك منه باتفاق. It is obligatory to accept that from him by agreement. Consensus, ijma', bittifaq, that you must accept that from him. So somebody says, I'm Salafi, you say, don't accept that, kaif. Ibn Taymiyyah said, it's obligatory to accept that from him. So who are we following now? Is your desires, your shubuhat, your doubts, and your ignorance, or we follow the ulama of the past who have mentioned this? So it is not a tazkiyah, some people say, tazkiyah, that you are praising yourself. No, this is an ascription. Quran, Sunnah, ala fahm al-salaf. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahmahullah, those who use him to say that, he says, no, he didn't say you're allowed to use it. Go back to his aqid al, his explanation of aqid al-wasitiyah, page 34. He says, the one who follows the Quran, the Sunnah, ala fahm al-salaf, fa'innahu salafi. Then he's salafi. Then he is salafi. Just recently they had in Riyadh, a whole conference about Salafiyya. A whole conference about Salafiyya. Some of the scholars attended, and they mentioned about the importance of Da'wah Salafiyya. Na'am. So, yes, it's not a tazkiyah. We are Salafi, alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to protect us. But it doesn't, Allah, it doesn't make you proud, it makes you humble. Makes you humble that we have to follow the Sahaba way. Not arrogant, doing our own thing. And look at the ones who said we're not Salafi. What they become? Sufi. Sahih. There was one, he said, no, don't call yourself Salafi. Don't. He was on that bandwagon for a long time. Now he's Sufi. He's Sidi Fulan. Sidi. Not Salafi, but now Sufi. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where does the origin of Sufi come from? Then, you want to follow them, these deviated people, and leave the Salaf as Salih. Alhamdulillah, I saw him in Hajj time, this individual. He says, oh, such and such. Fulan, he called me by my name. He said, because we haven't seen each other about 15 years or so. And he disconnected himself from the ulama. Alhamdulillah, we continue to be with the ulama. He said, oh, you've changed. I said, no, you're the one who's changed. He's obviously talking about that it's been a long time since we've seen each other. But I said, no, you're the one who's changed. You have a website called Ibn Jawziyah Institute where you praise the Sufis. You open the door to the Sufis, to bid'ah. And shirk. Nasallah salama, salat thabat wal ikhlas. And how many people change? Those who used to teach usul sunnah yesterday. What I mean by yesterday, I mean 20 years ago. They were in South London, in the masjid there, teaching usul sunnah. Now what are they doing? Now they're saying, and they attend film festivals, and they say, and you'll be surprised. And they say that, yes, there's no, that they say that fan wal insan, one thing, yani art and human be and the humans is together, they cannot be separated. Art, what he means by art is the films and all this. This is one, they cannot be separated. Then the reporter said to him, but in some of these films, you know, there's some bad things in there, you know what occurs between man and a woman. He said, yeah, but it depends on the intention. Astaghfirullah. MashaAllah. Yani innama al-a'malu binniyat, even in this situation. The amal is batil, is mardood, but it depends on the intention. Ya Rabbi. Wallah, I saw this on YouTube, I couldn't believe it. This is what he was teaching Usul Sunnah 20 years ago in the masjid in South London. Nas'alallah salama al-thabat. Now he says, then the reporter, now even the reporter is amazed. He can't believe what this man is saying. You know, reporter says to him, Yeah, but he says to him, but there are some scenes that, he says, inna ma'alban. Then the other person, he clarifies further. And he says, even in the Quran, if you're going to speak ill of this situation, yani the films that have these bad scenes, then you have to speak against Quran. A'udhu billah. Now you're dangerous now. Now you are speaking about Quran, Kalamullah. Because in the Quran he says, Bilqis, she showed some of her leg. A'udhu billah. So he said, does that mean that we say that is looking at bad scene or making a bad image in our mind? A'udhu billah. This is how you are using the Quran to justify your filth. And the other one, he said, and the story of Aziz and his wife. Huh? You're going to have to also say that's wrong as well, to mention that in the Quran, because person may put an image in his mind how that situation was. A'udhu billah. So now you are speaking against the Quran in a bad way like this. Astaghfirullah. There's a big difference here. This is Quran. Allah told us about what the occurrence of what happened. You looking at this is haram, yaqi. Just see a woman, yaqi, and stare at a second time, third time, is not allowed. It's not allowed. And not only that, you allow these bad scenes to be looked at just because of the intention. Depends on what the intention is. A'udhu billah. But even worse than that, says no problem if in Egypt they have a non-Muslim ruler or they have a woman ruler, yani, to lead them. No problem, he said. No, subhanallah. You want to be ruled by Muslim or non-Muslim, yaqi? Muslim or non-Muslim. So this is from the strangest and from the worst of the. This is from the worst. And other than that, he also says that the Prophet ﷺ used to listen to music on the day of Eid. A'udhu billah. So it's Allah Thabat. Why? They used to teach the books of the Salaf, then they left them. They put them aside because they want to be Salafi anymore. They don't be Salafi. And he said, I am Salafi in Aqeedah, but not in Wasila, not in bringing about the means, how to bring about Salafi. He said, I used to be like that before in Wasila, but now I've, it's like grown up. Now I am, I've got different ideas or different thoughts. Salafi in Aqeedah, but not Salafi in Wasila. La, ya akhi. Salaf, inna al-deen inda Allah al-Islam. Wa man yabtaghi ghayra islami deenan, falan yuqbala minh. The deen of Allah is al-Islam, the Islam that Allah gave to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba conveyed, and the Salaf al-Salih were upon. This is Salafiyya. There's no other way. That is al-ta'ifatu min umati al-haq zahirin. Clearly upon the truth. There's no other second path. افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلى واحدة قالوا من هي رسول الله قال من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. There is no other way. It's 72 in the fire, one in paradise. This is سلفية. And Sheikh Abdul Salam Al-Suhaymi wrote a nice book, كن سلفيا على الجادة. كن سلفيا. Be سلفي على الجادة. Upon seriousness, be serious, upon truthfulness. So yes, alhamdulillah, we are Salafi. We're not shying away from this name. The ones who shy away tomorrow, you don't know what you might be, like we have seen these guys. Don't shy away. They bite onto this sunnah with their molar teeth, and they hold on to it. With you are ulama, past and present, alhamdulillah. With them are innovators who misguided them. They lend their ear to the so-called intellectualists who have in reality no intellect that is sane. Barakallahu feekum. Wallahu a'lam. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.